It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Got a couple more days to submit your pitch. NextGreatPodcast.com. Can't tell you how proud I am of some of the people, what they've sent in with their great podcast ideas. And what we're going to do is select up to 10 semifinalists to give you $1,000, produce a pilot episode, and then people from around the country will vote on the next great podcast. And then the winner, I'm going into business with you. But keep them coming. You have until the end of the month, and some of the ideas are spectacular. Once again, we don't have a poll question today. Hope you understand, just given the sensitivity of everything that's going on. Bucks lead the NBA shutdown Wednesday night. Three baseball games were stopped. Three NBA games are scheduled today, but from what I'm told, they're not going to be played. NBA Board of Governors meeting this morning. I believe there's a players meeting later on today as well. Jim Jackson, NBA on TNT analyst, and he was on the call NBA TV yesterday. Jim, I've watched you a lot of times in your career, college and pro. You had one of your best performances of your life yesterday. I appreciate the honesty and doing that on live TV when you saw this was unfolding right there in front of you. When did you get an inkling that something was up, that the Bucks were probably not going to play this game?
First of all, Dan, thank you, for having me on your show this morning. Thanks for the kind words. Early in the day, we heard some rumblings about maybe the Toronto Raptors were thinking about maybe a boycott, but we didn't have a lot of credence to that. So we kind of just went about our day preparing for the game as normal. Once we got to the venue and arena, you know, the Orlando Magic were out warming up, their pregame warm-up, you know, with coaches kind of shooting. And so were the Milwaukee Bucks, some players out there. But as time began to pass a little bit and Orlando Magic went back to their locker room to begin their preparations, their pregame prep, last minute adjustments before they came back out for their final warmup before the game, they came back out and we noticed that the Milwaukee Bucks have yet to enter onto the court. And as the time began to, you know, count down to zero on the game clock, no Milwaukee Bucks came to the court. And at that point, we got word that there had been a players meeting and that they had decided because of the shooting of Jacob Blake and what was going on in Kenosha that they would boycott the basketball game.
And then you're trying to process this. What's Orlando do? Because I thought they were kind of caught off guard here. It felt like, I don't know when the Bucks voted on this, Jim, but it felt like, I don't know if it was a rush to vote or last minute, but it felt like they should have given at least Orlando a heads up there because Orlando, they're still on the floor. And I'm going, what is going on here?
Yeah, I agree to some point, and I want to back up a little bit. I do think a couple of players from the Bucks had a private meeting the night before and talked about this. Okay. Now, when they brought it to their teammates, I'm really not for sure, but it was brought in time in order to put a game plan in place. In regards to the Orlando Magic, sometimes with a plan like this, if it's going to be enacted the right way, if it's the Milwaukee Bucks, I think they felt it was better in their best interest to wait until they had everything in place. Because again, they put out calls through the ownership to the Attorney General's office in Wisconsin, also the District Attorney's office in Kenosha, to talk about the case itself. So they had a plan in place. It worked. The Orlando Magic jumped on board, and hence the other teams later that day also decided that the boycott was necessary.
If you were still in the NBA, what would you want to hear now as you move forward that would keep you in the bubble?
Well, you know, Dan, I've been asked that a lot, and that's a trick question. And I say that because as a man that's now 49, about to be 50, my thought process is a lot different. How would think at 24, 25, 26 years old without having an education and the reading and the knowledge that I have now is a lot different. Yeah. But I would want to see a plan together in regards to pushing the narrative of social justice, also, racial inequalities. But for the players itself, what they've been saying all along, pre-bubble, post-bubble, during the bubble, is that we need to take more leadership. Our owners need to take more responsibility within our communities, because if we don't do it, if we don't have a voice, then we're asking others who've been marginalized, who don't have the platform to affect change. We, more than anybody else, have the opportunity to do that, not just we as the players, but from an ownership, because you have a vested interest, not only in the NBA, more importantly, you have a vested interest in the communities in which you are located.
What does the commissioner need to do today?
Well, I think he's going to say is he supports the players, because throughout the time of putting in place the bubble, it's always been about the NBPA and the NBA working together. And I think it's witnessed by the amount of content that was produced and put together to support these narratives, okay? So I don't see it going any other way or going left in regards to what the commissioner will say. Now, what comes out of the Board of Governors meeting is very important in regards to what is next on the agenda collectively as a group with the players and the owners and the NBA. So I wouldn't expect Adam Silver to sway away from the narrative that the players are continuing to pursue.
If a player asks you if he should play, what would you say?
I say do what's in your heart, because that's what's important. What Jim Jackson would do is a lot different. But I will say this too, that if you really want to affect change, and Dan, you've been around enough to know this, change is uncomfortable maybe to yourself and to a lot of other people. And if you're not willing to deal with that uncomfortableness, then you're not going to be able to fully give the effort and achieve the goals that you want, because you can't have it halfway. You can't say, I want social change, but only want to give a little bit of your time and sacrifice in order for it to happen. If you're going to be the beacon of light, you got to go all in. If you're not all in, allow somebody else to do it that can push the agenda and the narrative in a way where now we really do affect social change.
I couldn't help but think of Kyrie Irving last night, Jim, believe it or not, because It was a couple of weeks ago, Kyrie said what he said and people came down hard on him. Like, if we really are all in it for social activism and justice, we should not be playing basketball games because it'll take away from the narrative here. And I'm paraphrasing here. And people came down hard on him saying, oh, you're not even healthy enough to be playing in the bubble. You know, if you were healthy, would you be saying this? And Kyrie, what he said, I think is ringing true today in a lot of people's ears.
You know, it is too, and everybody is entitled to their own opinion. I do believe that with the restart of the NBA, the platform was wide open for a lot more conversation that I don't know really would have taken place, because the platform in regards to the media was there, social media, the games on TV, the players had outlets each and every day to kind of push the message that they were trying to relay throughout the country. And the voice is so heard from the NBA, unlike maybe football, from an international perspective. So Tyree did have a point in regards to taking away from the meat of the movement. But at the same time, I do believe that being in the bubble while I've been here has a couple things happened, Dan. One, again, it's been broadcast nationally, internationally. The advertisements, the companies that have gotten involved, the groups that have supported, minority businesses and opportunities have happened, but also the players have had a chance to spend time with each other, yeah, you know, for hours, for days, that they normally wouldn't have. So I get a chance to talk to some guys on another team, and we can trade notes. We can come together and talk about what's next post this NBA season. And that allowed these players now to come together and kind of make the decision that we're seeing, or we will see later today, I think, spread apart. The confluence of things that have come together, you still don't kind of get that. So I do think that it's had value being in the bubble as we see today.
He's Jim Jackson, former NBA player, now an analyst on NBA on TNT. How much pressure do you think is on LeBron right now?
Well, it's a lot of pressure. Because he's the face of the league. He's the face of social change when it speaks upon the NBA. But certain people are built to handle it. And is it always easy? No. If you look at our leaders throughout history, it's never easy when you're put in a situation where everyone is expecting you to lead the way. Because you're not perfect. You're human. The insights that you may have based upon your upbringing may not equate or agree with other people. You're going to get people that are going to be negative towards you. But if you're doing things for the right reason, okay, and your heart is in the right place and it's not about you, then you can carry that burden. Okay, and LeBron has done an outstanding job. Is it sometimes too much? Yeah. But you know what? It's certain people throughout history that have been able to be placed in that situation and be able to handle the moment. I'm waiting to see, and I'm anticipating that LeBron James will be able to step up and handle this moment just as he's done any other one.
Do you think it's a real possibility that the season is canceled?
I do. And for a bigger reason too, Dan. It's the social justice issue and the racial discrimination is something that is an interesting concept, because we're asking people to say, look at me as a person, not as a second-class citizen. You know, throughout our history, we've had many amendments, laws. I don't care if it's a Civil Rights Act. I don't care if it's fair housing discrimination, 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment. We've had laws to say discrimination, voter suppression, racial inequality is wrong. But laws are pen to paper. Unless you're able to change someone's mindset, or their mindset is able to change on how you view the person that looks a little bit different than you, and you don't treat them like a second-class citizen, all of these things that we're trying to accomplish, it doesn't matter. Because the people in power, the people that control the pen, still see you as a second-class citizen. And until that changes, that's a reason why it's been perpetuated for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years of having the same conversation. See me as your equal. I don't want to be better than you. I'm not asking for anything more than you. I'm just asking for the same opportunities that you are afforded as an American. That's it. And until you change that mindset, Dan, and it starts with education when kids are young on how they view themselves and other minority groups. Because when you're taught when you're young that you're superior to African Americans, Native Americans, Latino Americans, Chinese Americans, you grow up that way. And conversely, Dan, as these minority groups are told that they're inferior, they grow up with an inferior complex and always feel that they're marginalized.
It's well said. I have a theory that when Muhammad Ali passed away in the summer of 2016, I think it opened a whole new generation's eyes to what Ali stood for and who he really was. And the reaction to his death at the ESPYs that year, he had LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Paul and Carmelo, and they got up there. That's when I think this kind of started with certainly the NBA players and just what Ali went through, a lot of people probably didn't understand. And then, all of course, later in his life, he's beloved. You know, he's lighting the flame at the Olympics in Atlanta. But I do think that something was hatched that day or soon after when people started seeing the clips of Ali and who he really was and what he stood for. Because you have to be willing to give up something. And he did. Kaepernick gave up something. John Carlos and Tommy Smith gave up something. But others have to give up something as well. It can't just be on just these players. And I think that's the important part as we move forward.
Dan, I'm glad you brought up Muhammad Ali, who's my favorite athlete of all time. And keep in mind, back when he changed his name to Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, and he converted over to the Muslim religion, during that time when he was outspoken about the Vietnam War, about racial inequities and inequalities, even in the black community, he was shunned because a lot of black people thought that he was hurting the civil rights movement. He was popular, but he was unpopular in a lot of circles because he was rocking the boat, so to speak. It was a black man at the time in the 60s that spoke against the powers that be. So the Muhammad Ali that a lot of people, to your point, saw later in life, the beloved, one of the most beloved athletes of all time, it wasn't like that. He had to go through that struggle. He had to go through that pain. I'm sure there were times in his lives where he thought to himself, is it all worth it? Because I'm not only endangering myself, but I'm endangering my family. But he stayed with it. And again, the sacrifice for him was worth the cost down the line. And right now, with these young athletes, because of social media and the times have changed, and I think young people in general, they see a different side of the world and people and say to themselves, especially athletes now in basketball, we have an opportunity to do something. Now, what that opportunity will move forward to, we have to push the narrative, but we also have to be willing, like you said, to give up something. What is that? Our time, our money, to be able to meet with our ownership and demand that within these 30 cities where our NBA teams are located, you have a better presence in regards to voter suppression, racial injustices, the incarceration, justice. You know, those things are pushing the narrative. And if you don't do that, then we're going to put the ball down and walk away until these demands are met.
Good to talk to you, Jim. I appreciate your time. I know you had a long day yesterday, and you're certainly starting out with a long day today, but thank you for your thoughts.
Anytime. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
The Milwaukee Bucks boycott, and that, of course, in the protest of the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And we don't know if we're going to have an NBA season. Let me put that up front right now. And if you've been listening to the show the first hour, I'm going to repeat myself just so I can give people the information that I had from last night from a prominent agent who represents some players in the bubble. And that is that there is a real possibility. In fact, he thought last night that they were going to shut down the season because without the Lakers and Clippers, you can't have a season in the bubble. You can't have a postseason. And the Lakers and Clippers voted or agreed to not continue to play. So they were willing to walk out of the bubble as a show of protest. And the games, according to the players, they want it to be labeled, they're boycotting. They weren't postponed, but they are postponed because they have to make these games up. There's supposed to be basketball today. And from what I'm told, there won't be basketball today. Because I think what is being asked of all of the teams in the bubble, everybody is going to boycott a game. All of the teams are going to, including the Celtics and the Raptors. They start round two. But you got basketball coming up this afternoon. It's supposed to be at 4 o'clock. So 6 hours from now, we're supposed to have basketball. But I don't think so. You'd be having a shoot-around. I wanted to bring back some of the sound that we played. Doc Rivers, the Clippers head coach on Wednesday, was so powerful. And he was speaking as a person. He's speaking as a father. Then, of course, you know that he's speaking as a head coach of the LA Clippers. But this is what Doc had to say about where we are right now as a society.
All you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country and this country does not love us back. It's really so sad. Like, I should just be a coach. And it's so often reminded of my color. You know, it's just really sad. We got to do better.
So that's Doc Rivers. That's prior to a game on Wednesday. And I think getting the players in the mindset of being able to play a basketball game is going to take some time. And I wonder if we have basketball maybe this weekend. And I know basketball shouldn't be the end game here, the goal, because I can't tell these players in the bubble what to think or feel or what they should do or not do. But it's a business. And they were informed last night by the head of their union, Michelle Roberts, this is a business. There are financial ramifications. And the owners have options here. But this is a player-driven league. And Adam Silver's got a lot on his plate today. But I would be really surprised if we had basketball this afternoon or tonight. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. I don't have a poll question today because I just didn't think, given the sensitivity going on, is there something that we could offer you? And look, when sports, when something like this collides, then we cover it. And 2 days ago, we talked about what happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And you know, I was trying to figure out, I didn't want to be numb to it. I didn't want to avoid it, but I didn't want to go out and get it and try to put it into our show. And I said, if this impacts what happens in the sports world and what players do, don't do, teams do, leagues do, don't do, then we'll cover it. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. So that's why we're covering it today. I didn't want to go out and get it and bring it in. I wanted to have it be part of what is going on in sports right now. And when games started getting canceled, then this is a story. This is the story. These are playoff games. This isn't a November game. This is now. This is the playoffs. And that's why we're covering it today. But no poll question. And this didn't just affect the basketball players. You had football players. Practices are canceled today in some of these cities with some of these teams. Baseball games, some players sat out. Thought it was interesting that Clayton Kershaw, the Dodgers pitcher, had this to say about Mookie Betts and supporting black players.
You know what, some of our black teammates, some of the black players around the league, some of the things that they've been through, I'll never understand. And it's just trying to figure out how to support them the best way possible. And I don't have the right answer, but for tonight, I feel like the right answer for us, for myself as a white man, was to sit out with them. And I think that's ultimately what we're going to have to do is just continue to listen to them and then try to figure out the best way to love people well with that.
That's Clayton Kershaw last night. And you had some leagues, some teams, some played, some didn't. I heard from somebody last night, a source who said that it puts some people in a real difficult position. There's a disconnect with the world of sports because you can't look at this and say, well, that's just NBA players or African-American players playing in the NBA. We shouldn't separate that. These are people. And these athletes in other sports should be looking at them and say, this isn't a black thing. This isn't us. This is our society. And I think that's where some of these teams, some of these players were put in a real delicate position of, do I sit down? Is anybody else sitting down with me? What if I disagree and I want to play? Because it wasn't universal that everybody didn't want to play last night. Just letting you know that. So we'll talk to Chris Mannix. He'll join us from the bubble coming up. We're also following this story with the Washington football team. The Washington football team, they're not practicing today, but they're confronting new claims of harassment and a video, a lewd video made for Daniel Snyder. So this is Washington Post. The second set of sexual harassment allegations against the Washington football team was reported Wednesday by the Post. 25 more women came forward with claims this time, bringing the total number of accusers to 42. Daniel Snyder directly implicated in two instances. He has direct ties to behavior that supposedly was going on throughout his team the last two decades. Now, apparently, there was a video that was made. According to the Washington Post, Daniel Snyder asked the video team in 2008 to compile outtakes of cheerleaders' private parts for the shoot for the team's swimsuit calendar. Two of these members of the video team have resigned. A second staffer, a former staffer, a broadcast producer who asked to remain anonymous, told the Post that a similar request was done in 2010 when the calendar was shot in the Dominican Republic. the footage was to be burned into a DVD titled For Executive Meeting. Team canceled practice on Thursday. Mike Florio will join us on this topic. And at what point, commissioner has no problem singling out players. He has no problem punishing players. He has no problem putting them on the commissioner's exempt list. But if you're a commissioner and you're given credit for being a great businessman, why would you have Daniel? How is he good for business? Because it's a great franchise, great fan base. Put it up on the open market, see what it goes for. But it's time to kick Daniel Snyder to the curb. Like, it just keeps building. This has nothing to do with the nickname. I mean, that's over. Eventually, he'll get around to changing it. But as I said, given Daniel Snyder being a good businessman, he'll understand how to make even more money with changing the nickname. All new merchandise. But at some point, the commissioner's got to go, you got to go. And I don't know what the tipping point is. I don't know what else you need. But if this was a player, they don't get this many chances. Yeah, Paul.
And doesn't it feel like Daniel Snyder spent the past month trying to keep this story at bay? He hires an African-American president for his team. He hires a female to be the run the broadcasting division after the guy who ran it before got in a big trouble and had to, air quote, retire. It feels like Daniel Snyder is trying to do every move he can to delay having to give up this team for another year.
And I'm happy that these people got put in these places. I just don't know why they got put in these places, but I have a pretty good idea. Because we heard from Washington, hey, do you want to talk to our new president? He's African-American. I want to talk to your owner. I talked to Ron Rivera. It took me a day to get Ron Rivera, who I hope is feeling better. And I felt bad for Ron Rivera. He'd been there 6 months. He didn't know everybody's name in the building. And he's out there doing interviews, talking about, you know, Washington's football team here. I don't want your new president or head of your broadcast team. I want your owner. That's who I want. Because the other stuff, it feels like, hey, nothing to see here. Look at us. We're so sensitive. We're racially sensitive, gender sensitive. We're the Washington football team. Yeah, McLevin.
Do you think other owners are worried about precedent? You know, remember they fired Jerry Richardson in Carolina.
Oh, I know. Oh, I believe me. I heard when this story first came out with the Washington Post, and I talked to somebody, a source who said, there are a couple owners who are really nervous with what's going on with Daniel Snyder. I said, okay. Yeah, I think there's people who are nervous about precedent setting that all of a sudden I'm going to go get you for personal conduct. Am I going to be looking at other owners here? So, yes, I think that is a viable possibility in this situation. So, Flora will join us coming up. It was a crazy day yesterday, and it was a little bit, I think it was right at 4 o'clock, and I text the Danettes, and I go, hey, I'm hearing something with the Bucks and the Magic. I wasn't able to watch, so I was in my car, and I got in a phone call, and all it was a heads-up that said, hey, Bucks Magic, it's going to get interesting here. And so I text the Danettes because I thought maybe you guys were able to watch the beginning of that. And then all of a sudden they turn on NBA TV and they go, Bucks just left the floor. The Magic are still out there shooting. And then I thought, okay, is there maybe it's a technical delay. Maybe there's something that happened with the scoreboard. Like, I had no idea. And all of a sudden I get home and I watch NBA TV. Jim Jackson did a wonderful job. Chris Webber was really good yesterday as well. But this is happening right in front of you. And you're prepared for a game. And now you got all this fill time. And I thought that they did a wonderful job. Here's a portion of what Chris Webber had to say, the former NBA player, TNT NBA analyst.
We know vote. We keep hearing vote. Everybody vote. But I'm here to speak for those that are always marginalized. Those that live in these neighborhoods where we preach and tell them to vote and walk away. Charles Barkley came to my high school. Just seeing him in the locker room, seeing his hands and his body, that inspired me. You can't see something You can't be something till you see it. And when I tell you the little kids that have called me upset, I have a godson that has autism, and I just had to explain to him why we aren't playing. I have young nephews that I've had to talk to about death before they've even seen it in a movie. If not now, when? If not during a pandemic and countless lives being lost, if not now, when?
You can hear it in his voice. It's powerful stuff. That's Chris Webber yesterday. Yesterday's NBA games, the first postseason games postponed in the league for any reason since the Lakers and Clippers had to postpone games in the 1992 playoffs due to the rioting in Los Angeles after the Rodney King verdict. Your phone calls are welcome. I pride myself in this audience, and if you have something that you think is smart or that we need to hear or you'd like to convey, then we have phone lines that are open. Just be respectful. That's all I'm asking. Same thing I ask every single day when you call in. I give you the opportunity, and I hope you view it as it's an opportunity to be able to say what you want to say. We don't have a poll question today. If you want to email, you want to tweet, you can also do that as well. But we don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know what's going to happen in 45 minutes from now or an hour from now by the time we're done with the show. But my guess is I don't think we're playing basketball today and tonight. I don't know when we play basketball again. But I do know from a source last night, there was a really strong sense the season was going to be shut down last night. A really strong sense. You know, there's anger, frustration, confusion. You're in the bubble. While that does help in getting together with your teammates to discuss these things, I do think, as Paul George pointed out, you know, you get depressed. You're in a bad place there. You're in a bubble. You play basketball, you go back to your room. That's all you do. And I think the tensions are starting to boil over. And you go back to what was said by Kyrie Irving a couple of weeks ago. You know, we shouldn't be going into the bubble and playing basketball. And people piled on Kyrie at the time. Are they watering down the message? Is it still being heard? If you don't play, what's it mean? If you do play, what's it mean? These are real heavy questions that have to be answered by the players, by the owners. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll step away from the Orlando bubble here for a little bit. And once again, we'll talk to Chris Mannix coming up next hour and just find out exactly what's at stake today and tonight, because I think the season could be not in jeopardy, but it's certainly in the discussion of they may shut this down. From what I was told last night, it was a serious conversation. And the discussion, and when I said, well, what was the discussion like? And my source said, there wasn't a lot of discussion. There was a lot of anger in that room. And then the Clippers and Lakers reportedly were leading the charge to shut down the season. So we'll have Chris Mannix joining us coming up in a little bit. Mike Florio has been all over this Washington story. When will the lawsuits be filed in the Washington football investigation? The NFL won't hire an independent investigator to review the Washington allegations. Things appear to be getting worse. Mike Florio on loan from Pro Football Talk Live on Peacock. Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How would you sum this up of where we are with Washington and Daniel Snyder?
Well, it's extremely troubling, Dan. And the commissioner's statement that was issued last night had an initial paragraph that was extremely appropriate and reflected the concern that the league should have over what is now 40 former female employees and counting who have alleged sexual harassment against the franchise via reporting by the Washington Post. But the second paragraph of the commissioner's statement made it clear, Dan, that the league is going to continue to defer to the investigation that was arranged, bought, and paid for by Daniel Snyder. And it's one thing for that investigation to be conducted before Snyder is directly accused of wrongdoing, but now the guy who's signing the paychecks to the lawyer, right? The lawyer has a duty to the client. Snyder is the client. He's in the crosshairs. I'm astounded that the NFL is not taking this thing over. I mean, look at it this way. You've got 40 former employees who are going to be contacted by the lawyer who is working for the team. Are they going to talk to her? I sure wouldn't.
No.
But if it's a lawyer who is hired by the NFL and explains, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this on behalf of the NFL, not on behalf of Washington, then I'm more likely to talk. So that's just a practical impediment to what makes no sense. It's just one of the practical impediments to what makes no sense to have the league not do this investigation on its own.
A league that is predicated on being great businessmen, how can this possibly help business by having Daniel Snyder? Why are they still protecting him unless these other owners would be worried about precedent that, hey, you're going to start looking at his personal life or how he handles things, or people, you know, you're going to shine the spotlight on me as well?
Well, remember when Jerry Richardson had to sell the Panthers, Dan, the league hired an independent counsel to investigate. Now, with Richardson, there was already a sense that the ship was sailing and he was going to be selling the team. There were multiple settlement agreements with non-disclosure clauses where there were individuals who had accused Richardson of wrongdoing and they had settled those claims, which even though every one of those settlement agreements says the defendant admits no wrongdoing, the fact that you're writing the check at some level creates the impression you did something you shouldn't have done. So Richardson's already out. But I do think there's still this lingering concern among owners that if and when that spotlight ever gets turned toward us And all it takes is a motivated enemy who starts stirring up trouble. And every major billion-dollar organization has had disgruntled employees at some time or another. It very well could be that there's a level of concern here. There's a layer of buffer that the owners are looking for to insulate them against ever being on the wrong side of what Daniel Snyder would be on the wrong side of if there was a truly independent investigation.
So what has to happen for Daniel Snyder to relinquish control of this team?
Well, the investigation needs to find some evidence that is persuasive that would cause the NFL to say, sorry, but this isn't acceptable. You've got to go. Now, look, I see two separate issues here. I see specific allegations against Snyder that may or may not be true, and he's denied them in a statement that he issued yesterday. And then I see the broader issue with the culture of the organization, an organization he's presided over for 21 years. At what point is the mountain of misconduct so great that you say, wait a minute, this is your team. You're ultimately in charge. You set the tone here. You determine whether or not there's going to be a sufficiently robust human resources department to process reports, to encourage reporting. This is your team. This is your shop. And it's been dysfunctional as it relates to how women are treated for two decades. Sorry, you can't continue. I mean, that's another way this can go. But again, it's not likely to happen if the person doing the investigation is processing all the facts through that lens of, and it's justifiable, it's understandable. I'm being paid by Daniel Snyder to do this. My duty to Daniel Snyder is to not throw him under the bus.
Yeah, your job is not to get him to lose control of his team, I'm guessing. That's what I don't understand with the NFL. If you're going to investigate, then investigate. But you can't say this is an independent investigator when she's hired by Daniel Snyder. You have NFL teams not practicing, some not practicing today. We're 2 weeks away from the season opener. With what is going on, certainly with the NBA, is there a spillover with the NFL as we get closer once the season starts?
Dan, I'm going to quote Pete Carroll, the Seahawks coach, from yesterday when he was asked about the possibility of players refusing to take the field for games. He said, anything's possible. It's a season of protest, and anything is possible. And it feels like we're always one news cycle away from the next video that makes us say, what in the hell are we looking at here? And how is progress not being made? George Floyd's murder supposedly made us all wide awake. And now here we are at the end of the summer, close to Labor Day. Floyd happened Memorial Day, and we have another incident. And I feel like every time one of these incidents happen, it raises the stakes now that players are going to react by basically saying, hey, look, the time for talking is over. We've tried to talk. I think that's what the NBA is saying. We've tried to talk. We've tried to explain. We've tried to make you aware of what we're concerned about, and you're not listening to us. So we are literally taking our ball and going home.
We're talking to Mike Florio, co-host Pro Football Live on Peacock, the show that precedes ours. I'm also wondering about this as we go into the season and these false positives here. How is the NFL, what did they learn from these 70-plus false positives? Because if this happened 2 weeks from today, it would shut down the football season, you know, for the weekend, I'm going to guess, or for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and Dan, what the NFL currently is doing through the competition committee, brainstorming every possible scenario that could emerge once we get into the season. But you know how it goes. It's the things you worry about that never happen. It's those things you didn't actually plan for that get dropped onto your lap at the worst possible time. But they can't say if false positives happen in a cluster during the season, gee, we didn't see that coming because now we've seen it. I hope that BioReference Laboratories knows what happened, how it happened, why it happened, so they can prevent it from happening again. Because when they issued their statement the other day, I read it. It's 93 words and it says nothing. It doesn't say anything about what exactly happened, and it creates the impression it could happen again. Yeah. So they need to be ready for it, and they need to be ready to mobilize to determine which positives are false positives, which ones are real positives, and then you need to worry about the possibility of false negatives. I mean, as problematic as false positives are, false negatives even worse, because that puts a guy who's got the virus out onto the field during a game, shedding virus onto anyone he comes close to, and potentially sets the stage for the outbreak that we've kind of been bracing for the last month, but hasn't happened yet.
Why has Hard Knocks been flat? The lack of interest or juice with the Chargers and the Rams?
Well, I think a couple of reasons, because at first I thought, hey, you know what? This is the year that Hard Knocks may actually be interesting because we're not otherwise getting a glimpse inside what's happening in these training camps in this era of COVID-19. So this is access that the media isn't getting, but I just don't think there's a national following for either team. There's definitely not a local following in LA yet for either team. And I think people have other things to worry about. I saw an article the other day that there's less interest this year in fantasy football than ever before. I just think with everything that's currently going on in our country, in our lives, in our own individual worlds, things that otherwise would be higher on the stack of stuff we give a crap about, those things are falling down. Hard Knocks is falling down. Fantasy football is falling down. And we'll see what spot pro football occupies 2 weeks from today when the games start.
Do you make your Super Bowl pick soon?
I wait as long as I possibly can, typically after the championship game. But here's the thing. Even if you get it right, like nobody cares if you get it right. But if you get it wrong, if you get it really wrong, you can never get away from it. You can never live it down. But we'll do that right before the season starts. But Dan, you look at where we are. You look at how important continuity is going to be, coaching staff, players. I mean, how do we, even though the Chiefs had to come from 24 down against the Texans, 10 points twice against the Titans in the first half, 10 points with 7 minutes left against the 49ers, how do you not look at the Chiefs and say, when you consider what they did last year, if they can keep that nucleus healthy, especially Patrick Mahomes, how do they not emerge, even though it hasn't happened in 20 years, how do they not emerge as the champion back to back?
Give me a good team that you don't think is going to be in the Super Bowl, or maybe not even make the playoffs.
A good team that won't make the playoffs. I could see it fall apart for the Green Bay Packers, depending upon how Aaron Rodgers interacts with the coaching staff and how all of that plays out. Although the indications are it's going to be an Aaron Rodgers revenge tour after what happened with Jordan Love. I think on the other side of the ledger in the AFC, the Texans are a team that's won the division a couple years in a row. How are they going to be this year? I don't see the Ravens falling off at all. I think the question for them is, can they win in the playoffs? I think the bigger challenge is finding that team that's off the radar that is going to be pretty good. And, you know, the Falcons finished the year 6-2. And everybody's talking about the Saints and the Buccaneers in the NFC South. I think the Falcons have an opportunity to surprise some people. They've still got a good nucleus, and Matt Ryan is one of the best in the NFL who doesn't get the credit for it. The Falcons are one of those teams I'm keeping an eye on that could make some noise this year. And Dan, that seventh playoff spot in each conference makes a huge difference. Teams are going to be alive a lot longer, and that one last team that gets in, if they draw a division rival in the first round, a 2-7 game that way, man, all bets are off as to who's going to win that game.
If I said you could have the Falcons or the Buccaneers this year?
Oh, I think I'm going to take the Buccaneers.
Okay.
Because, you know, the Tom Brady factor is undeniable. And if they handle Rob Gronkowski properly and keep him healthy, and I think that's one of the reasons why they kept O.J. Howard and didn't trade him, I think they're going to, just like the Patriots did in 2018, not really use Gronk to his full capacity until we get closer to the postseason. And I think the Bucs are going to make it with seven teams in the NFC. They were 7-7 with Jameis Winston last year going into the final two games of the season. And, you know, Tom Brady bringing that Patriot mentality, and it's going to be infectious, and the weapons he's got are just incredible. If he can get rid of the ball quickly enough, because the offensive line, you know, isn't going to be dominant, but if he can do it, Dan, you know, all the hype, I think, is going to come to fruition for the Buccaneers.
Good to talk to you, Mike. Do you have any wine in your wine cellar?
I do. I've got a lot more spots for wine than I have actual wine bottles because we drink a lot of it, but there's some back there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Until I drink it all.
It looks like you got Boone's Farm back there.
Mad Dog.
Mad Dog 2020. Thank you, Mike.
All right. See you, Dan.
That's Mike Florio, co-host of Pro Football Live on Peacock. A couple of phone calls here. Wayne in Nebraska joins us. Wayne, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Lifelong Redskins fan, born on the reservation. I've only been embarrassed to be a Redskins fan for about 17 years since Snyder's taken over. We're a dumpster fire.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's going to change anytime soon. I just don't know if the commissioner, is not going to investigate Daniel Snyder, then I don't know if anything is going to change here. The only thing that might change is all these lawsuits and all of these women who are going to file these lawsuits. And thanks for the phone call, Wayne. Good luck. But I don't think anything's changing anytime soon. Chris in Virginia. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. First, just a quick comment. As one of four Chargers fans in the country, we've watched every Hard Knocks episode, and they're great. What I wanted to ask is, from a broadcaster's perspective, can you talk a little bit about what happened last night with the NBA? So you come on the air, and you think you're going to cover this game, mm-hmm. and then you've got to switch topics in a major way. So I'm just curious from your perspective, like, how you move the audience along, what you do behind the scenes to move the conversation, you know, what you're asking your producers for, that kind of stuff.
Well, I was fortunate, and thanks for the phone call, Chris, that when I worked at ESPN, that we were, you know, you kind of adapt on the fly, but you're also, you've been in that situation before. And then it'll be, okay, what reporter do we get? You know, how do we advance the story? The Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants, the earthquake game, that was some of the best live TV reporting, not just sports, the best live TV reporting that I've ever seen. Because I had Bob Lee, who was there, and Bob is as good as any reporter, not sports reporter, any reporter you'll find in America. And Al Michaels was doing the play-by-play. And Al, from the Bay Area, understood the Bay Area, and he is in the building, and he's got all the landscapes. He's got the bridges. He knows everything that's going on there. And then Bob was doing interviews. Joe Torre was with us, the you know, obviously the former manager. He was the analyst there. Chris Berman was also helping. Chris, a San Francisco Giants fan. So understanding it in the moment and taking advantage of the resources that you have. When Magic Johnson had his press conference, I was given a heads up right before the press conference. The great Dick Schaap, the late great Dick Schaap, said Magic has HIV. So then all of a sudden we're scrambling that we have to go, okay, who can help us with this topic? And who's on site to help us with this topic? And then can you put a piece together that gives people an idea of what is HIV? And this is a long time ago. When we didn't know, and I didn't know, as I'm throwing it to Magic Johnson, I didn't know how long Magic was going to speak. I didn't know if others were going to speak after Magic made his announcement. So there are a lot of moments where you have to tap dance, is what we call it in this business. But the ability to have great people behind the scenes is never more prominent, more important than then, because they're calm. The people who are in your ear telling you, we got this coming up, or you got to vamp a little bit. Hey, ad lib for about 30 seconds here, then we'll get that piece of sound from this person. Those people make you great. And I was surrounded by that at the mothership for 18 years. Yeah, Paul.
One that stands out to me is the O.J. Bronco chase as the, I think, game six of the NBA Finals with the Houston Rockets and the Knicks. And it's Bob Casas and Marv Albert and those guys, and they're trying to cover a really important basketball game, a serious basketball game to a market of New York Knicks fans and Houston fans while the OJ chase is going on in a split screen. And I think they brought Tom Brokaw in at one point in mid-game.
Yeah. It's just having those people who have been in it before. As we like to say in the business, live bullets. When they're being fired, that's when you really earn your paycheck, that you're able to do it. You know, we did live every single night that I did SportsCenter. It was live. And that ability to be able to go, okay, somebody's going to go, the highlight's not there. You got to ad lib for 30 seconds. Okay, I got to ad lib on the Indians and, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers facing one another. Not easy, but that's kind of the fun part of it. I love that there's no net there. But anybody in the business or wants to get into the business, understand that those people behind the scenes are so valuable. And don't take them for granted, because when you do have those issues, I mean, case in point, Steve Bartman. Steve Bartman, we thought, was calling into SportsCenter one night, and I was hosting SportsCenter. Now, it would have been the biggest get of the year. And my producer, coordinated producer at the time, complete trust in him. And look, this one slipped by the goalie, and we realized that we got punked on the air by somebody from Howard Stern's show. But I trusted him and still would trust him to this day, because you're in battle with them and they're there and they've got you and they help you. And you know, I was lucky that none of the Danettes were there, because that
made them worse.
Yes. But having those people behind the scenes, a producer talking to you in your ear, you know, when I would do the Super Bowl and I'd be down on the field and you're on an island, it's chaos. It's noise, it's chaos, And I would have my producer from Football Night in America, Sam Flood, in my ear. And all he does is just guide you. And when I did the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, when I'm hosting the Super Bowl, and that's 7 hours on the air, and you just need somebody who guides you from point A to point B, back to point A, over to point C, over to point Q, back to point A. And those people are so valuable. But when you're down there on the podium and you feel like you're alone, even though there's 100 million people watching and 80,000 in the stands, you feel like you're alone. And all you can do is screw up there. If you do well, nobody cares. Screw up. Yeah, you asked Gronk about, did you forget the... One of my moments where I asked Gronk, did you forget what this felt like? And he goes, well, this is my first Super Bowl that I've won. But I shook it off fast. It's like you get hit and you go, I got to shake that off. Yeah, see.
I was worried about you in the moment there. I remember watching at a bar. He said that. And I was immediately went from like, tomorrow's the best day ever to, dear, tomorrow's not going to be good.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Once again, you had the boycotts yesterday. You had the other sports world teams react. The Dodgers game with San Francisco postponed. So were the games between the Brewers and the Reds, Padres and Mariners, several black baseball players, including Jason Hayward and the Cardinals outfielder Dexter Fowler weren't in their team's lineups. And I'm not sure where we're headed today because you have the Board of Governors, the owners meeting, and then you also have the players meeting as well. Let's bring in Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated to get an update from the bubble. First of all, you did a great job last night. You and Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports were my lifeline to this and what was going on. So just want to compliment you on doing what you do well, being a reporter. But walk me through last night, late last night. How tense did this get?
It got pretty tense in that room. And the meeting was really divided into two separate meetings. You had one meeting which had the full complements of NBA players and coaches who were invited into the mix and everybody speaking. Doc Rivers spoke passionately about his experiences. John Lucas, should say, of the Houston Rockets, he spoke at this meeting. Armand Hill, an assistant coach with the Clippers, he spoke at this meeting. And coaches kind of were involved in the discussions about what to do moving forward. After about an hour, the players asked the coaches to leave, and they started to hash things out. There were a lot of voices that were heard in this room, Dan. The meeting was led by Chris Paul and Andre Iguodala, but there were dozens of players from Jaylen Brown to Damian Lillard to Carmelo Anthony who spoke up and had strong things to say. How it ended, very much unclear. I mean, the Lakers and Clippers said that they were ready to leave. It's unclear if them saying they're ready to leave was them saying we're done or them saying that's our position on this. So the meeting ended with a lot of ambiguity about where this league and where these players are going to go moving forward. They have had further meetings this morning, from what I've been told. Some key players have met on these issues. The Board of Governors meeting, as you mentioned, is happening as we speak. We're going to know a lot more about the future of the NBA when this Board of Governors meeting is over and we get some clarity on where the league and the players stand.
We're less than 5 hours away from Nuggets Jazz. The first of three game schedule. I was told last night that there won't be basketball today. Is there any official update?
No, I like 5 minutes ago, I asked a high-ranking league official for any kind of update, and there was none. But it's impossible to believe they'll play today. I've talked to coaches that are operating like there's no games today. Coaches that have games today are not going through the routines that they would have if they were playing.
What is the role of the commissioner today?
I think the role of Adam Silver is to fully grasp and understand and narrow down what the players want from owners and present that to owners in a way that gets this league moving again. Because one of the takeaways from last night from some of the people I talked to in the room was that players want more done on voting issues. Players want more done on police reform, but there really wasn't any kind of action plan that the players were ready to present to owners that would satisfy their needs in all this. And owners, Dan, some of them are kind of sitting back and saying, look, we feel like we've done a lot, you know, for this movement, for players here. They, you know, went along with the social justice messages on the jersey. They have been extremely supportive of players taking a knee during the national anthem. When what happened last night with the Bucks happened, the Bucks ownership group, the top three people, came out with an immediate statement in support of all that. Owners 2 weeks ago committed $300 million over the next 10 years to improve areas of the black community economically. You can say they're really rich, they can do that, but $300 million is not nothing. It's just not. So owners are kind of sitting back and saying, we've done a lot here. What more do you want us to do? I think for Adam Silver, you know, narrowing down what the players would find to be acceptable and present that to owners in a way that makes them go along with it, I think that's important. But I would say something, Dan, that's come up a lot
in the last 12 hours. Adam Silver's not here.
Yeah.
Mark Tatum is not here. The two highest ranking league officials are not here in the bubble. Now, there may be very good reasons for that, but one of the ways that a commissioner or a deputy commissioner can connect with players is to understand what they're going through right now. And the experience of the bubble has exacerbated and magnified the feelings these players are having. You know, Paul George spoke on what he was going through the other night, but he's not alone in those feelings. There are a lot of players that are feeling a mental burden as a result of being in this bubble. And Adam Silver not being here and Mark Tatum not being here, they just can't share the same perspective that players have because they haven't experienced everything players are experiencing.
Is there a chance that the season gets shut down?
I had a veteran player tell me in the immediate aftermath of what the Bucks did that the season was in jeopardy. I don't know in the aftermath of that meeting last night if that feeling has been strengthened or weakened, but I do know that because the Bucks did this, and let's remember, they did this unilaterally. You know, the Bucks, because of this happening in their backyard, you know, what happened with Jacob Blake, they decided to do this unilaterally. You know, Orlando was on the floor. They were ready to play. About 100 yards up the hill, you had Chris Paul and Oklahoma City players starting to warm up for their game. So the Bucks, I mean, the Bucks in the locker room, Dan, like all the players in that locker room were wearing their jerseys. So this happened, you know, their decision not to play happened very quickly before the start of the game. But when the Bucks did this, in a way, they kind of put players in a tough spot because now some players, the ones that I've talked to and people that are close to them, have said to me, well, we did this. We made a statement, but does the statement matter if we turn around and play in 48 hours? What do we gain if we just delay the start of the season 48 hours? There are players now that are saying, you know, now that they've done this, doesn't there have to be something tangible and real done from all this? I mean, Fred VanVleet said this the other day, and it rings true to me now. Like at some point, players are thinking, we've got to put our stuff on the line here. Like we have got to put our money where our mouth is. And if we're willing to really sacrifice, we may have to be willing to walk away.
Talking to Chris Mannix, joining us from the bubble. He, of course, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. A couple of items, though, basketball-wise. You got some openings here. The Pacers firing Nate McMillan. Is Greg Popovich, is that a real possibility for the Nets that he would actually take over as the head coach?
It's the longest of long shots because I don't get the sense that Pop wants to move out of San Antonio. I think he still wants to keep coaching. I don't believe that his coaching career ended here in the bubble, but I don't believe that he's ready to jump ship. I mean, I think the Nets, Sean Marks, we know, long relationship with Popovich, they're going to make an effort to try to lure him out of San Antonio, but I don't believe that's going to be successful. I think the Nets are going to be in the Ty Lue chase. There's at least three teams, you know, with the Pelicans, the Sixers, and the Nets that I think are going to be aggressively pursuing Tyronn Lue. He is going to have some great offers on the table in the next couple of weeks and months, and he may have to just decide which one he dislikes best.
Yeah, just trying to figure that out. Why float that out there with Popovich? That unless you gave him a piece of the team, like I don't. Does Popovich feel like, hey, I got unfinished business here to coach again someplace?
Well, I mean, it's a possibility to take over a championship-ready team, and the players on that team, you know, really respect him. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, for various reasons, you know, they have a lot of respect for Greg Popovich. The thing with this, reporting on this that came from The Athletic, it's accurate. It's just, it's not necessarily new. This has been kind of a well-known sort of secret in the NBA, so to speak, that, you know, Sean Marks and the Nets wanted Greg Popovich. I'm not sure that anything changed in the last week that made it any more likely than it was 3 or 4 weeks ago or a couple of months ago. It's just the Spurs season is over. The Nets season is over. They're officially beginning their search in the coming days. Popovich is somebody they want. I don't believe that there's mutual interest, at least not strong enough, to get Popovich out. Just quickly on Indiana, Dan, like putting aside like the, you know, giving a guy a quasi extension, then firing him. That was such a jerk move on the way out the door to put out a press release where you say his playoff record was 3-16. Like, I mean, this is like, well, like you're like fire the guy. Okay. But is there really a need to drop?
I mean, factually it was correct.
It's correct. but like 2 weeks ago, you had a statement that was released from the team with Kevin Pritchard on top saying, we're so proud of all that Nate's accomplished. Like is a 4-game sweep without, you know, Sabonis in your lineup and with Victor Oladipo still recovering from this catastrophic leg injury. I mean, is that really like, I mean, that was a new one, Dan. That was a new one. A team firing a coach 2 weeks after sort of extending him and then noting at the bottom, he had 3-16 playoff record.
Is Mike D'Antoni coaching for his future in Houston?
It's a little more complicated than that. I don't think win or lose this series, it will necessarily strengthen or worsen Mike D'Antoni's position there. Like Mike wants to be respected in terms of contract length and money. Like if you come to Mike D'Antoni with a real offer, Mike D'Antoni would stay in Houston, you know, but they didn't come to him with what he deemed to be a real offer, a multi-year offer. And that's what put them in the position where he's in now as a lame duck type of coach. I mean, I'll be honest, Dan, I'm not sure who else could coach that team. Like, you know, Mike D'Antoni's done some really creative things with that offense and, you know, kind of built it around James Harden and has incorporated Russell Westbrook as best as you possibly can. I'm not sure that any other coach could take over that roster and do a better job.
McLovin, you wanted to recap Chris Mannix's playoff picks from the bubble?
I'm looking at my record here on danpatrick.com.
Yeah, what?
The
what?
Title game, I think it's Blazers and Sixers. Blazers, was that from this Sixers. Year or 1976?
Do you stand by that, Chris?
I said it was 2021, right? Were we... looking ahead, like health.
I'll even give you 2021.
By the way, like the Sixers, another one, like Brett Brown was going to go at some point. I mean, it's last couple of years, he's been on the proverbial chopping block, but can we please stop with this fantasy that firing Brett Brown solves any of the Sixers problems? I mean, they had a team, Dan, that was maybe one bounce away, a Kawhi Leonard shot from going to a conference finals, and then who knows? I mean, the Raptors won a championship. Maybe the Sixers win a championship. Their response to that was to let one of their best players, Jimmy Butler, go, let their best shooter go, and reinvent their team around Al Horford, Tobias Harris, and a bunch of non-shooters. I mean, Brett Brown, say what you want about his in-game coaching. I know he's maybe not be elite at that part of it, but give me a break. I mean, this team screwed up last offseason when they let Butler go, they let Redick walk. That's the problem, not what Brett Brown did.
Do they keep both players?
Yes. Okay. Short term anyway. The problem, though, Dan, is they have one of the most expensive payrolls in like the history of basketball. Like they have like four guys making over $100 million in Horford, Harris, Simmons, and Embiid. Your flexibility is minimal. Mm-hmm. So unless you can find a shooter in the draft that can play right away, unless you can use some of your exceptions to lure a shooter, maybe Pat Connaughton playing with the Bucks, who is going to be really valuable this offseason. Maybe you can make a trade for somebody that can play. You're going to have a tough time getting yourself back to the level you were at last summer. That's the big thing. They had it, Dan. They had it. I know it's a risk giving Jimmy Butler 5 years and $190 million, but looking back on it now, is any more of a risk than giving Al Horford 4 years, $100 million? Is any more of a risk than giving Tobias Harris 5 years, $180 million? Like, Jimmy Butler is like the heart and soul of that Miami Heat team. J.J. Redick is still shooting like 40-something percent from three-point range and probably will still be able to do that until he's like 50 years old. Like, they had the formula a year ago. They broke it up. That's the problem. And, like, I like Elton Brand, but, you know, just, you know, shaking up the chairs underneath him is not going to make that big a difference.
Thank you, Chris. Great job again last night. Good luck today.
You got it, Dan.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.